Welcome to BayCare Health Chat. I'm your host, Caitlin White. We are back today for part two of our discussion on smoking and how it affects the healing process. Joining us for this important discussion is Dr. Jumanuel Landfair, an orthopedic surgeon with specializations in total hip and knee replacement. Doctor, thank you for joining us once again. To start us off, how do these chemicals affect my ability to heal a wound? Let's talk about like post-surgery and things like that.
Yeah, so this is actually a topic that's very near and dear to my heart because I actually make a lot of my patients stop smoking before surgery because I want them to have the best recovery possible and avoid any avoidable complications from surgery as possible. So, you know, going into this, I try to explain this exact same topic with them just to get a little bit more detail to talk about specific chemicals. Nicotine and carbon monoxide, they can inhibit oxygen delivery to the cells of your body. This is by way of decreased blood flow throughout your body and also the decreased ability for your blood cells to carry oxygen, right? That's very important for healing. The chemicals in tobacco could also directly affect the function of the cells that make and repair soft tissue. Now, essentially, it's healing, it's repairing the soft tissue. And then also, which is another very important point, the immune cells that help with healing, the way you fight off infection is from your immune cells. Now, if they're not working right, then you're in a higher risk of infection. Now, small vessel disease secondary to tobacco smoking may also interfere with your body's ability to make new blood vessels by releasing less substances such as nitric oxide, which are very important for the growth and development of new blood vessels to help with wound repair. So those are some of the mechanisms of how smoking affects your ability to heal a wound, which is detrimental to wound healing.
Absolutely. Well, what does research say, doctor, about the additional risk of poor healing compared to non-smokers?
So I would say that most of the evidence supports that smokers are more likely to have development of postoperative wound-related complications, such as the wound coming apart, which the technical term for that is dehiscence, and a higher likelihood of infection, whether that be a superficial infection or a deep infection. Now, most studies that look at the breakdown of surgical wounds, the fascia and suture tissue found a higher rate of occurrence of infections or wound breakdown as well in smokers. Now, there were two high quality studies that demonstrated significantly more surgical site infections in smokers. And by high quality, meaning the study was done in a way that was found to be very accurate in determining if there was indeed an effect caused by the tobacco. Additionally, smoking can also influence bone healing, and there are studies to, you know, corroborate that. There's one study that was done on tibia, which is your shin bone fractures, showing that they had significantly slower healing rates in smokers compared to non-smokers. So they're saying that bone healing is definitely affected. And then there's a lot of literature, basically almost all of the studies done on spinal fusions, which is a very common spinal procedure, that show that there is an increased rate of bony fusion never happening, meaning that the bone is supposed to fuse, but it doesn't. And this is more likely to happen in smokers compared to non-smokers. Now, the ability for that fusion to occur is very important for these spinal fusion surgeries because that's where a lot of your stability comes from after the surgery.
Gotcha. All right. So if I am someone who is a smoker and maybe I'm prepping for surgery or I know I have a surgery coming up, I mean, why should I care about this? It sounds obviously like a lot of bad things and healing isn't happening and whatnot, but what does it mean to my recovery if I don't take this seriously?
Let's go on a bit of a macroscopic scale for a second. Let's talk about numbers. So about 40 to 50 million surgeries are performed in the U.S. each year. Some are the same people, right, having surgery, but most are different people having surgery, which is probably between 10 to 15% of the population having some type of surgical procedure every year, right? So if we play in the numbers game, that means at some point in your life, you may need surgery, right?
Yeah.
So if you have surgery and your wound doesn't heal and subsequently becomes infected, it could lead to more surgical procedures, increased disability, amputations, possibly more hospitalizations for sure, and possibly death. In addition, a person could potentially gain up to a decade of life expectancy by stopping the smoking. So, I mean, to me, that's pretty impressive evidence as to why someone shouldn't smoke. But let's say, you know, every once in a while I get a patient that's like, you know, I don't care about my own life. That's another issue. We need to get you some counseling because you should care. We want to help you holistically. We want to help the whole individual. That's probably another podcast. Yeah. You know, but if they don't care, most people who say that, they have somebody they care about, right? They should at least think about the people that they care about, right? Their lives and the lives of their loved ones and the potential physical, emotional, and possibly financial burden that they could be placing upon them. And definitely the grief that they would be putting on them from their loved one having to go through so much pain and disability and possibly death.
Absolutely. No, I love that perspective of kind of taking it outside of yourself also and seeing how it affects all the people you love around you. That's a very good point. So obviously it sounds like stopping smoking is of course the answer, but even if you smoke or not, we all know that it's pretty hard to do. So what can I do to stop smoking?
So, that's a very loaded question. Yeah. So I would think the very first step is to elicit help. Who should I call? Probably your primary care physician. This is the person that should be the hub of all of your healthcare needs. They're the point guard on the basketball court. They are the ones that try to get the ball to where it needs to be so you can actually win, right? Mm-hmm. So I would talk to my primary care doctor because there are a multitude of strategies that can be implemented to help quit smoking. There's like behavioral counseling, nicotine replacement therapy products. There's some other medications that are decently helpful by themselves, but studies have shown that when used together, they're much more effective. If you're making a commitment to yourself, and first of all, I commend you for that. I commend you for making a decision to say, hey, this is the last day I poison myself. If you're making that decision, then I will go to my primary care physician and get the process going.
Wonderful. Well, wrapping up here, doctor, let's say I need to have a procedure done. I have a date of surgery and I'm a smoker and I'm really trying to stop. But how do I go ahead in getting my procedure done? Is this something where I should push back my surgery date until I've quit smoking? What is that relationship like?
You kind of have to play it on a case by case basis. So I would talk to the surgeon, honestly, because depending on what body system the person is having the procedure on, the risks kind of differ. Also, there's elective surgery versus surgery that's needed, right? So sometimes, you know, you can't wait to have a procedure done. It needs to be done ASAP. And then in those circumstances, most of the time, the answer is no, don't push back the surgery. But that's why you should talk to your surgeon to see if it qualifies as one of those types of surgery. I will say that there is research that shows former smokers appear to have a lifetime risk of healing complications compared to patients who never smoked. However, though, there is a brighter side to this. There's evidence that shows that smoking cessation for at least 4 weeks before surgery reduces what we call a surgical site infection, your wound getting infected, basically, which is probably the most severe complication that could be avoided by stopping smoking. So that's a good thing. So me personally, I encourage people to stop smoking at least 4 weeks before surgery to reduce the risk of surgical site infections. They should also probably not smoke for 4 to 6 weeks after surgery. But in all honesty, once you quit smoking, you should never go back. Just don't go back. It's easy to say that for me. Well, it's not actually because I used to be a smoker. Oh. So I know how hard it is. When I was in the military, I smoked. So I know that battle.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a battle that I know every day that I live in that it's worth the struggle because I've seen the differences in my health, you know, once I stopped and all of those things. So I know that it's worth giving up in general for your own health, your own long-term health, right? And even short-term, I feel better. You know what I mean? Going back from when I stopped. And also you just got to think from a long-term standpoint that almost all the causes of disability and death decrease significantly if you stop smoking for the rest of your life. Once you go through that door, just don't turn back. You know, that would be my advice.
Of course. Such vital information today. Thank you so much, doctor, for joining us and for opening up and sharing a bit about your own journey with smoking. I know it is super inspiring to hear when others can get over this habit. And that wraps up this episode of BayCare Health Chat. Head on over to our website at baycare.org for more information and to get connected with one of our providers. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast and all of the other BayCare podcasts. For more health tips and updates, follow us on your social channels. I'm Caitlin White. Thanks for listening.